All right, everybody, welcome to the 18th episode of the podcast, dude. Today's topic is best resources for learning recording, mixing, and mastering. And I got the idea from this show because I started studying all these things, recording, mixing, and mastering, probably a year or two before I even got interested or started to edit podcasts. But the knowledge that I learned was so valuable to me, and I've acquired a bunch of different resources online, people I follow, websites I read that have really taught me a lot and are really good resources. So I wanted to share that stuff with you guys. Not all the resources I'm going to share in today's show are specifically about podcasting, but they're all really, really great for everything audio related. So if you're interested in editing or mixing your shows yourself, or if you want to become a professional podcast editor, or if you're interesting, because I know a lot of you that listen are also musicians. So if you're interested in, say, maybe recording your own music or recording your band, then I believe today's episode, you're going to really, really enjoy it. I'm excited to share this stuff with you. Again, this is episode 18 of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Dowd. Let's get going. Okay, everybody. If this is your first time, if you're just joining, welcome. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you listening to me. My name is Aaron Dowd, and I'm a professional podcast editor, and I'm here to help you learn more about podcasting and audio and everything that goes along with putting out your message online. I love it. I love podcasting. Yeah, I'm always excited to do it and to work with people that do it. So, and I said earlier, in today's show, best resources for learning, recording, mixing, and mastering. So I want to talk about what you'll need to get started, because you're going to need some stuff before you start recording, mixing, and mastering your stuff. First thing, you'll need some kind of computer. That's fairly obvious, but it needs to be said. I love MacBooks. You can record audio on a PC, on a Windows PC, just preferably something newer, but whatever you have will work. So don't stress too much about that. You'll also need some kind of audio interface, a USB. Or USB is the most common, so we'll just stick with that. You could get Thunderbolt, you could get FireWire, but USB is really common. So you'll need an interface. And the line of interfaces that I like are by a company called Focusrite. And the one that I always recommend to people is the Scarlett interfaces. And there's a range of them with various prices, various, you know, number of inputs for the microphones, depending on how many microphones you need. There's a lot of different options, so there's nearly anything to fit your budget. They start at around $100 and go up from there. Focusrite, if you want to go a little bit fancier, if you want something a little bit higher quality, they've just come out with a new line called Claret that I've been looking at, and this just has better preamps, a little bit better sound quality. I'm thinking about maybe investing in one of those. I'm not sure. Also, I should have said this right away. There's going to be a lot of stuff that I talk about that you'll need to go check out. And I've put all the links for this episode on the website, which is thepodcastdude.com. You can find show notes, extensive show notes. I've got all this stuff written out and prepared for you guys at thepodcastdude.com/18. So go check that out. You can follow along or just go reference it later. Okay, so the Focusrite interfaces, those are great. If you get an interface like that, you'll need an XLR microphone. This is just a traditional microphone. And the three that I like to recommend, first, if you just want to go budget, Shure SM58 or Shure SM57. These are great dynamic microphones, will make you sound good. They run about $100 new, but you can get them less than maybe $50, $60 used. So you go with one of those, you'll sound good. The microphone that I use and everyone on my podcast network, the Sean West Podcast Network, we all use the Shure SM7B. This is a very popular mic, has a really nice, rich, warm sound. A little more expensive, they run about $350. Another microphone I just wanted to mention by Shure, the Shure Beta 87A. And I heard about this one the other day on the Accidental Tech podcast. Marco Arment was talking about it, and he said he really liked the way it sounded. I have yet to buy one and test one, but I want to because he really liked it. He really recommended it, and those run about $165. So for a microphone, you get one of those to start off with. If you're interested in recording instruments as well, not just vocals or say a podcast, but if you're interested in recording instruments, you're going to want to check out a large diaphragm condenser mic for like acoustic guitar, singer-songwriter type stuff. So I'll include a link to one of those in the show notes, but that's not super important. Okay, if you don't want to get an interface and a microphone, you can go with a USB microphone. So this is a microphone with a USB cable that plugs directly into your computer, bypassing an additional interface. I personally don't think these sound as good as the XLR plus interface, but it's a little bit simpler, a little bit less intimidating, less knobs to turn. But there's a couple that I can say are okay. I guess I should tell you first what I don't like. I don't like the Blue Snowball microphones. I think those sound terrible. Pretty much anything below $50 is not going to give you a good sound. I think it's going to be counterproductive to what you're trying to do, which is record and mix and master something that sounds good. So, but the microphones that I think are okay, Samson makes a mic called the CO1U USB Studio Condenser Microphone. Runs about $80. The Blue Yeti for $100, you can get that sounding pretty good. The Rode Podcaster, $199, pretty decent mic. Regardless of what microphone you get, you're going to want to grab a pop filter if you're going to record vocals, because otherwise your breath will hit the microphone. It'll cause these little popping sounds, low in frequencies that you don't want. Bad times, just invest $10, buy a pop filter. Okay, you're also going to need recording software. So these programs are called digital audio workstations. You'll sometimes see them referred to as DAWs, so digital audio workstation. And there are a couple here. First, I got to say, if you have a Mac computer, there's a program that comes installed with the newer operating systems that will allow you to record audio. It's called QuickTime. And this is the easiest way to just plug in your microphone, open up this program, hit record, and then you've got an audio track recording. Not a lot of editing features. You can't, say, record multiple tracks and put them together, but that is an option if you just want to record yourself talking and you don't want to mess with the more complicated programs that I'm going to talk about here in a second. Here's what I actually really like. GarageBand is awesome. I will say that. GarageBand comes free with Mac, and it is a great, great program if you just want to get started. There's a little bit of a learning curve, but it really does have all the tools and the plugins that you'll need to get started. So Audacity is another option for a DAW, and that you can install Audacity on either Mac or Windows. It's a free download. I really, really hate the user interface. I think it's ugly. It's an ugly program. I'm a Mac user. I'm familiar with design, and I like programs that look nice and clean. And I don't know, something about Audacity, but it is free. It's enough to get you started if you just want to play around. The program I use for recording and editing is called Logic Pro 10 or Logic Pro X, depending on who you ask. And that runs $199. So that's not free. That's definitely a professional option. And you can, if you have a Mac, just start off on GarageBand, learn it, and when the time comes, you'll know when you're ready to upgrade. You'll figure that out. There are a couple other options. You go with Pro Tools, and the pricing for Pro Tools, I don't even know if you can buy the software now. I think they're trying to move to a subscription model, and I'm not a fan of subscription models like that. But Pro Tools is the industry standard. Again, very complicated, not good for just starting off. But a lot of people use it, a lot of people love it, that's fine. Adobe Audition. So this is another program from Adobe, a digital audio workstation, that can be installed on either Windows or Macs. And I believe it's a subscription model as well. So you pay something like $20 a month to use it. But if you are already part of Adobe's Creative Cloud, then you may have access to it. So go check that out. That's a good program too, very powerful. All right, what else are you going to need? You're going to need either headphones or monitors for listening to the audio that you record. And you might be asking, like, well, can't I just do that with the headphones or earbuds that I have? Yes, you can, but there's a benefit to having headphones or monitors made specifically for listening, mixing, and mastering music. These headphones, like the ones I'm using, the Sony MDR7506s, they are flat, basically. They're not boosting or cutting any frequencies in the way that some consumer headphones do. So you get a more accurate idea of what your audio really sounds like, which will help you make choices about which things to adjust, which frequencies, or you know how to EQ it, if you should boost the highs or drop the highs, or if there's a frequency you need to cut out. It's better to have studio mixing headphones or monitors for listening back if you're going to be trying to do this, maybe not professionally, but just doing a good job with it. So I've got a couple I can recommend here, both headphones and monitors. The Sony MDR-7506s, these run between $80 and $100. This is what I really what I started with, and I have to make a confession. I've never owned a pair of studio monitors. So these are the speakers that sit on your desktop. Sometimes you'll see them on stands. And all the engineers that I pay attention to, all the mixing and mastering engineers, say that these studio monitors are better than headphones for getting a clear idea of how your mixes will sound, how your tracks will sound. But I've yet to pick up a pair, and hopefully that's something I can do in the near future. But as far as headphones, if you want to spend a little bit less, $50 will get you a pair of Audio-Technica ATH M20X headphones. Those are supposed to be pretty decent, you know, based on Amazon reviews. You can get the headphones that I want. The headphones that I really want are the Sennheiser HD650. And these are great headphones, but they run $450, so I'm saving up my money for that. But those come highly recommended for mixing and mastering, not just podcasts, but music, really. As far as monitors go, a couple that I've got my eyes on. And you should know first off that if you're going to buy these studio monitors to listen to your tracks on, unless you have a big room, you don't need very big speakers. And most speakers, I believe the common sizes are 5-inch speakers, 6 or 7-inch speakers, and then 10-inch speakers. If you've got just a normal size room, then 5-inch speakers are probably going to be fine for you. And there are a couple here that I was checking out that have some good reviews. The PreSonus Iris, two-way powered monitor speakers. Those run $188 for a pair. And then KRK Rocket 5-inch speakers. A pair of those is $300. So go check those out. Again, I've got links, podcastdude.com/18, links to all that stuff so you can go look at it. Now, I got a question from Lee in the chat. She had asked, should I have better input equipment or better editing software starting out? That's a great question, Lee. I really like this question. I think it's better to start off with some kind of free software like either Audacity or GarageBand. And invest that if you only have, say, $300 total to spend, invest that first in a great mic, because that's going to give you the best sound starting off. The professional software, it's good, but it's not going to make the difference at first. The most important part of a recording chain, I believe, is the microphone and the audio that you record. And then after that, you can get into mixing and mastering and editing and all that stuff. But the microphone is really, really, really important. If you start off with a terrible microphone like the Blue Snowball, you're going to have a lot of problems. It's not going to sound good. You're not going to be able to fix it up and make it sound good. So I think start with better equipment and then upgrade editing software as the free stuff starts to limit you and what you want to do with it. All right, so here's what I want you guys to focus on if you're just starting off, if you're just learning, because there are so many different parts of recording, mixing, and mastering. It can be really, really overwhelming. So here's a list of things to focus on when you're just starting off. First, mic placement. So this kind of plays into mic technique as well. This is where the mic is in relation to the sound source. So in my case, it's my mouth, where my voice is coming out of. So mic placement, and this could be if you're recording guitars, this could be how far away from the guitar it is, how far away from the amp, and so on and so on. So mic placement, mic technique, and then mixing vocals. So this includes things like EQ, compression, de-essing, noise removal. And then you get into stuff like automation, which is using the software to boost or reduce the volume over a timeline. And then editing, which is how to cut things out and move things around. And then limiting, which is just keeping the loudest parts of the track on the master track, what's going to end up being the final podcast file. Just keeping the audio from hitting zero and clipping and distorting and sounding bad. So there's so many things to learn about just in that list, but that's just what I want you guys to focus on, those things. Here are some things to ignore if you're just interested in podcasting. Ignore any tutorials about reverb, delay, MIDI stuff, synthesizers, things like panning and mid-side processing. These are things that you don't need to know about if you're just going to be recording and editing and mixing, mastering podcasts. Okay, so let's jump into the resources. Big introduction right there. So the best free resources, we're going to start off with the free stuff. Best free resources for learning recording, mixing, and mastering. We're going to start off with YouTube. So there's a few YouTube channels that I've really, really enjoyed and I pay attention to. There's a guy named Mitchell Pigsley. And when I started watching him a few years ago, he must have been like 16, 17 years old. But he's just got a ton of energy and he's taught himself and he's learned a ton and he's great about teaching and he's entertaining. He's got a great YouTube channel just about all different things, recording, mixing, and mastering. And you can learn a lot from him. There's a mastering engineer named Ian Shepherd. And Ian Shepherd has been working and mastering for decades. And he also does some great teaching online, his website, his YouTube channel. There's a YouTube channel called I'm a Music Mogul. Another great one, just all around in general for this stuff. Mixbus TV, and then Music Tech Help Guy. So these are some YouTube channels that I've really, really enjoyed. And then I go back and I watch their videos whenever they come out with new ones. Okay, websites. There's a few websites I really, really enjoy. First, there's a website called Pensado's Place from a mixing and mastering engineer called Dave Pensado. And he's been working in music for decades. Again, he's a little bit older, but he teaches everything he knows. He has some really great tutorial videos. He does interviews. He's got kind of both a YouTube channel where he does videos and podcasts, just audio only. And interviews are, you know, sometimes it's better to watch. I listen to the podcast just because I don't have a lot of free time to sit down and watch videos, but it's a great show, Pensado's Place. He does another, like, more of a, like, a screencast / behind the scenes kind of watch him mix over his shoulder series called Into the Layer, which is really, really great. I've really enjoyed those. Moving on, recordingrevolution.com. And this is from a guy named Graham Cochran. And Graham Cochran, he's got a friend, does a similar thing. And I can go ahead and mention him, Joe Gilder. Joe Gilder and Graham Cochran are two guys. They might be my favorite resources for learning this stuff. RecordingRevolution.com and HomeStudioCorner.com. Both these guys put out tons and tons of great free content. They both have email newsletters. They do screencasts all the time. Their output is insane, and they're both funny and entertaining to listen to. So I love those guys. Go check those dudes out. Follow them on Twitter. Good stuff. Good stuff. Okay, websites. Isotope. Isotope is a company that makes audio plugins for really all different kinds of things. I use their RX4 plugin suite for fixing up audio, but they put out free educational guides that you can download, PDFs you can download from the site. There's two in particular that really, really helped me when I was learning, mixing with Isotope and mastering with Ozone. And they're kind of marketing materials in that they show you how you could do mixing and mastering with their plugins, but the information there will apply to nearly any situation. You can learn a lot just from reading that stuff. So go check that out. All right, moving into podcasts. These are the podcasts that I listen to about audio. Good stuff. I mentioned earlier, Home Studio Corner. Joe Gilder has a podcast called Home Studio Corner Podcast. It's great. They're usually about 30 minutes. He does a similar format to me in that he will talk about a topic for about 15 minutes, and then he'll move into listener questions. So good stuff. He's got a great personality, very entertaining, very funny. Joe and Graham both do a podcast together called Simply Recording Podcast. That's really good. I discovered a podcast while I was doing research for the show, and I haven't listened to a lot of it yet, but I checked out a couple episodes. Podcast called Recording Lounge. And this is by a guy in Oklahoma called Kendall Osborne. And like I said, I haven't listened to a lot of it yet, but I checked it out and it sounds like quality, you know, good sound, good information, not a lot of fluff. So go check that out. Recording Lounge, he's got a website. That's another resource. I didn't know whether to put that in with the podcast section or the website section. Okay, moving on. Pro Tools Expert Podcast. These are three or four British guys that get together every week to talk about recording, mixing, and mastering, audio news. great show, especially if you like British accents like I do. I love the British. Pensado's Place, I mentioned earlier, you can subscribe and get a podcast feed for that. And then there's another show called The Home Recording Show. Good podcast. And there are actually a few other podcasts that I used to listen to, but some of them stopped recording new episodes a few years ago. But if you're interested in checking those out, going through the backlog, some of that information might be either irrelevant now or a little bit out of date, but there still is some good stuff. Just search for recording or mixing in the podcast section of the iTunes store. Something else I wanted to bring up as far as free resources. I just want to say that trial and error is not a bad way to learn mixing and mastering audio. One of the best free ways to learn something is just to try things. Don't be afraid to push buttons and turn knobs and see what sounds good. Learning how to mix and master takes time, and you're going to make mistakes, but don't let that stop you from experimenting. Okay, let's get into the best paid resources for learning recording, mixing, and mastering. So there are a couple of courses that I've taken that I really, really liked. There's a website called creativelive.com that has a few different audio courses. The one I liked particularly was Compression and EQ Masterclass with Graham Cochran. You can also check out lynda.com. Lynda's got some courses on Pro Tools, Logic Pro X. There's one that I took, Logic Pro X Tutorials, Mixing and Mastering. And then there was a Logic Pro X Essential Training. So if you're thinking about buying that program, it's not a bad idea to go invest in a month or two of subscription to Lynda and watch those videos, go through those. Okay, some magazines for you guys. Yeah, no, not everybody reads these days, but I still like reading. Sound on Sound magazine. They've got a website too, so you can go check that out. Good articles there. But that's just, again, one of those kind of catch-all magazines that talks about recording, mixing, mastering. They do interviews with people, review gear, all that kind of stuff. There's actually a free magazine that I subscribe to called Tape Op that's similar. It's a lot of interviews, a lot of gear reviews. So Tape Op, that's a good magazine. And free. You can actually get the physical copy free delivered to you. That's kind of crazy. Okay, some books. I'm going to go over some books that I like with you guys. The Mixing Engineer's Handbook by Bobby Owsinski. So this is an introduction to mixing, and it also has a bunch of interviews with some great recording and audio engineers. Mixing Secrets for the Small Studio by Mike Senior. And the excerpt for this is, learn the subtle editing, arrangement, and monitoring tactics, which gives industry insiders their competitive edge, and master the psychological tricks, which will protect you from all the biggest rookie mistakes. Find out where you don't need to spend money, as well as how to make a limited budget really count. So those are good books. A couple other books I really like. There's a mix engineer that calls himself Mixer Man. And this guy's kind of a character, but he did a series of books about mixing, recording, producing. And there were two that I really liked, Zen and the Art of Mixing and Zen and the Art of Recording. So both of these are, they're kind of more about the theory, about the thought process behind recording, mixing, and mastering, but a very entertaining read. He's a good writer, has a lot of funny stuff in there. And then another book, finally, the last resource here. There was a book, I just found this just a couple days ago. And it is called Sound Reporting, the NPR Guide to Audio Journalism and Production. And I kind of got excited when I saw this because I've always looked up to and admired the way NPR produces their shows. The guy that wrote this, his name is Jonathan Kern. He's trained NPR's on-air staff for years. And he kind of lays out the whole process. I want to read you an excerpt from that. Perhaps you've wondered how public radio gets that smooth, well-crafted sound. Maybe you're thinking about starting a podcast and want some tips from the pros. Or maybe storytelling has always been a passion of yours and you want to learn how to do it more effectively. Whatever the case, whether you're an avid NPR listener or you aspire to create your own audio or both, Sound Reporting, the NPR Guide to Audio Journalism and Production, will give you a rare tour of the world of a professional broadcaster. And that was it for me. I was just like, sold, I'll take it. So, and the cool thing is that hopefully this doesn't change, but at the time that I bought it, the Kindle version of the book was only $249 or $299 or something on the Amazon Kindle store. So That was cool. I'm excited about that. I read a couple chapters last night. Okay, guys, so that is the exhaustive list of all the resources that have helped me learn this stuff over the years. So I hope it's helpful. I just want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for showing up. Find me on Twitter if you want to hang out and talk there. I am at the podcast dude. You can send me email and feedback, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Let me know if you have any questions or any other feedback. This stuff is complicated, I will say. It's not something that you're going to be able to learn in a weekend, but it is valuable, especially if you want to do your own podcast or if you want to record your own music. It's really, really great stuff. So, but I'm happy to point you in the right direction if you'd like, give you some advice or some feedback about your stuff. Okay, I want to read an iTunes review real quick. Robert left an epic review that I laughed for 10 or 15 minutes when I read this review. It was great. So thanks, Robert. I appreciate it. Give me a good laugh. So he said, the title of his review is "Aaron Dowd is ruining podcasts and you can too." It's great. He said, "Let's face it, there are a lot of poorly produced podcasts out there. Bad sound quality, shoddy editing, lackluster content, inconsistent scheduling, incoherent structure. Aaron Dowd is on a mission to change that all. After years of experience editing some of the best podcasts out there, Aaron is sharing some of the best kept secrets, tips, and tricks of the trade. Each episode is presented in a clear, straightforward style, covering everything you would need to know to produce your own podcast efficiently, consistently, and with the kind of quality that will help you find and connect with an audience. Even if you aren't thinking of starting your own podcast, the ideas that Aaron shares are going to help you improve your blog posts, your videos, and any other content you might create. If you ever write him with a question, he's incredibly responsive with helpful advice, sometimes even addressing it on air. It's just one sign of the kind of investment Aaron makes in his audience. Warning, once you start listening to the podcast dude, you will start noticing how many podcasts could be improved. It just might ruin 90% of the podcasts you currently listen to. The good news is that he'll arm you with the knowledge you need to make a podcast that will rise above the noise and gain you an audience of dedicated listeners, just like him." Robert, thank you, sir. That's great. I really appreciate that. It really means a lot to me. All right, lastly, if you've been enjoying the show, if you like the show, if you like this format, the best way to support my show is to join the Sean West community. I am constantly in awe of the quality of the people that join and participate in the community. It's not like anywhere else I've ever been online. Everyone's just super friendly and positive and encouraging and helpful. And they come from all different walks of life, too. It's not just a lot of people, when they hear Sean West, they think hand lettering artist, right? So everyone in the community must be a hand lettering artist or they do graphic design. It's not like that at all. We have musicians, we have audio engineers, we have programmers, we have comic book artists. Shout out to Brooks. Well, I guess technically he calls himself a character. What is it? Character design? Anyways, it's confusing. He's good. Anyways, but all these people come together and they support this network. They support this show. They support the Sean West show, all the other shows on the Sean West network. And I got to say thanks to all you guys in the community. It means a lot to me that you do that, that you're a part of this. So if you've been enjoying the show, if you like what we're doing here on the Sean West Network, please consider joining. I would really love it. We stream live every weekday. That's really, really awesome. Got some new shows coming even. So this is the place to be. This is the place to be online right now. Also, so many good things about it. The community, there's a mobile app. We hang out and we chat all day long. You can listen to the live stream straight from the chat. It's great. Okay. Go check out seanwest.com/community. I think you're going to like it. All right. I'm going to get into some questions for the after show. Got some good ones today. We'll be right back. Okay, guys, got some questions to get into here. I had got this question from someone on Twitter a while back, and I thought it would be relevant here. The question was, would moving to Logic Pro instead of GarageBand provide me with the ability to dial in the sound and quality of recording? The simple answer to that is no. It's not really gonna let you dial in. It's a little bit complicated because there are a couple plugins that Logic has that GarageBand doesn't have, like the Expander, which can help remove some of the background noise. But then again, there are also probably places online that you could download Expander plugins and use inside of GarageBand. So basically, the most important thing if you really want to dial in the sound and quality of recording is learning EQ, learning compression, and then learning how to set input gain levels correctly, investing in a better mic if you don't have a good mic yet, eliminating background noise in your room, things like that. Those are going to make a bigger difference than upgrading from GarageBand to Logic. I upgraded to Logic mostly because it has some really nice features for quickly editing shows that GarageBand doesn't have. So it would actually take me longer to edit a show in GarageBand, although I do believe that I could get the same sound quality, because the plugins in GarageBand are almost identical to the plugins in Logic. It's just that there's not as many of them. But a lot of the plugins that come in Logic are more suited for instruments instead of vocals. So I hope that makes sense. But I would say if you need and want better sound, investing in learning how to record better and then also investing in better microphones will get you further than upgrading to a professional editing program like Logic or Pro Tools or Audition. Okay, and one other thing about that. Those programs, Logic Pro 10 and Pro Tools, they're more powerful, and that's great once you've learned the basics, but they do have a pretty steep learning curve. So these programs are going to be overwhelming if you don't already have a solid grasp on the basics. All right, another question. I got a question earlier about a microphone, and I just wanted to address this. So I get this question all the time. Is X mic okay for getting started? And you can substitute whatever microphone you want. You know, you could say, is the Blue Yeti mic a decent mic for getting started? Is the Shure SM58 mic a decent mic for getting started? You know, do I need to buy an expensive $300-$500 microphone to sound good? And the answer is, any mic is okay for getting started. The very, very cheap mics are not going to sound good, and there's not going to be any way you can fix that audio to make it sound good. So if you're just wanting to learn and you're just going to keep these recordings to yourself and you're just practicing and experimenting, then it doesn't matter what kind of mic you have. But if you're going to put something out into the world, if you're going to publish a podcast and share it with people, and if you want people to share that podcast with other people, then you need to invest in a decent microphone. And the microphones I talked about earlier, I believe the minimum is either the Blue Yeti or the Shure SM58 with the audio interfaces. The Shure SM58, it actually sounds really good. If you get a pop filter and you set the input gain levels with that, and you don't have a ton and ton of background noise in your room, it'll sound good. And it's, you know, it's a little bit more than just a cheap USB microphone or even the Blue Yeti, but I believe the quality difference will pay off in the long term, because your listeners will be more likely to listen to your show. They're not going to turn it off because you sound bad. They're going to share it with people because it sounds good. It's just a good investment to make. So if you just want to practice, it doesn't matter what kind of mic you have. But if you want to publish and you want to grow an audience and you want your podcast to be successful, then you want to invest in something good. Okay. Kelsey had asked, what are the pros and cons of learning to edit your own podcast versus sending the audio files off to a professional editor? Mainly, if you don't have a lot of extra money. When I started learning recording, mixing, and mastering, it was actually because the bands I was playing in, we didn't have enough money to go and pay for a professional recording studio. You know, those can be anywhere from, you know, $100, $300 a day to, you know, thousands depending on where you go. And my thought was, the technology has gotten much simpler, maybe not simpler, but it's gotten more affordable. You know, you can get a good interface for $500. You can get a good microphone for $300. There's tons of other things. You know, we have this incredible processing power of the computers that we have now. We can record dozens and dozens of tracks. And yeah, so money I think could be the first thing, because professional podcast editor, I guess that's a thing now. Wasn't when I started, but I'm seeing more companies and more individuals branch out into that. It's going to cost money. So if you're living comfortably, if you have a full-time job that you like, if you need time more than you need money. I didn't used to be in that position. I used to need money. I had to make money. But if you need more time than you need money, maybe you don't have to learn this stuff. If you're busy, if it's not something you're interested in, then, you know, I'd say pass it off to someone who is capable and who understands and is passionate about recording, mixing, and mastering and doing podcasts, helping people with podcasts. I think you can get a good job. And Kelsey had said, let's say money is no object, but someone wants to save time and hassle. I still think it's a good idea to learn, to spend a little bit of time to learn the basics, because if you send it off to somebody and you have no idea whether they actually improved the audio or made it worse, learn how to do something so you can set the standard for the quality, so you understand how to explain what you're looking for or how to give feedback to the person, but then hand it off, because it can be time consuming. And the mixing and mastering part, yeah, if you're not experienced with it, you can spend a lot of time just twisting knobs and trying to figure out what sounds better. I can listen to a track and know in 5 or 10 minutes what needs to be done to it, but that's with a couple of years of experience. But if you need time, then definitely pass it off. Okay, what else here? Okay, Sarah, yeah, what you said, it's not the SM7B, but you can be really happy, or you're really happy with the sound you get from the Yeti. Yeah, and the reason I recommend the Yeti is because it does have a decent sound. You can get a good sound out of it. It's very sensitive to room noise. It's very sensitive to mic technique and distance and pop filters. But if you use proper mic technique and you have a quiet room that doesn't have a lot of echo, and you set the gain levels right, and you got a pop filter, you can get a good sounding track out of that. It sounds clear, sounds bright. Maybe not the best for every single voice, but I actually, one of these days, I'm going to do, I have a large diaphragm condenser microphone. Hang on. I believe it's the AKG Perception 220. And I tested it with my voice one time, and it sounded really good. It sounded arguably as good as the SM7B, maybe a little bit better, possibly just because of the way my voice is. And I'm not going to recommend it to everyone, and especially since condenser mics tend to pick up more room noise and more echo, and they're more sensitive. But in this case, I don't know. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do a show with it. Sean's going to be angry, but I'm going to do a show with it and let you guys hear it and maybe see what you think. Okay, and what I want to leave you guys with, just want to say, I've gotten more than a couple emails from listeners of the show asking about how to basically do what I do for a living, be a professional podcast editor, what that means, like how do they get there? And I just want to say that this episode, if you're interested in being a professional podcast editor, you need to go and check out these books. You need to go and listen to these resources, watch these YouTube videos. You need to know as much as you can about audio. And then not just audio, but also things like web design, how to write HTML and Markdown for show notes. How to be a good writer, you know, how to use punctuation correctly and grammar and all that stuff. But the audio, the editing, the mixing, and the mastering, those are all very important things, because you're going to get a ton of different kinds of files thrown at you, and some of them are going to be too quiet, some of them are going to be too loud, there's going to be background noises you need to learn how to deal with and improve the sound of the files that your clients are going to send to you. So all the stuff I shared in the show, these were all resources that got me where I am today and as far as my knowledge. And I'm not done yet. I still have tons and tons of things to learn about. There's so many things. Audio engineering, mixing and mastering, this is a lifelong pursuit. This is something you can do for the rest of your life, and there's always going to be more to learn. And that's part of the reason I really, really love it. But I understand that it's intimidating for people that are new. So hopefully some of the resources that I shared today will give you guys a good jumping off point. You can kind of get your feet wet. You can learn a little bit. If you're not going to be doing this full time, if you're not interested, if you're not a musician, if you're not trying to be a professional podcast editor, then don't spend too much time. But I think it is, like web design, like writing, like professional speaking, I think it is working with audio and even working with video is one of those, it's those skills that are kind of essential in this day and age for anyone who's doing any kind of business. If they're running their own business or being an entrepreneur in any way, I think this is good stuff to have a firm grasp on. Okay, that's going to do it for the show today, everyone. So I hope that was helpful to you guys. I know it's not going to apply to everyone because everyone's not interested in being an audio nerd the same way that I am. But I wish I would have had this list a few years ago when I was trying to learn. So that's why I wanted to share it. Thanks again for listening. Find me on Twitter, aaron@thepodcastdude.com, if you want to send me some email. And I will see everyone next week.